Good Saturday morning and welcome to Time with Toto. I'm James Toto. This half-hour show is dedicated to our veterans and issues that involve them, local news here in Atlantic County and surrounding areas, news happening in the great taxation state of New Jersey, national and international news, and how it will impact us here both as a state and nation. You can follow me on Facebook and YouTube at Time with Toto. Please post any comments either for or against and why you have that position. My point of view comes from a middle-of-the-road point of view that is just a few clicks to the right of center. I believe that the government and the legislation are there to serve the people, not the other way around. There is no such thing as a free lunch, so when people talk about the government having money, that money comes from taxes. The more taxes we have, the more restrictive the government is on our freedoms, and we become reliant on government programs. Please go to Time with Toto and let me know what you think in a clever and common-sense fashion. I'm just a working-class guy, a blue-collar worker, and I would like to think that I represent the common-sense logic that most people have. If you agree or disagree, let me know at Time with Toto. Since this is our voice and common-sense discussions lead to solutions, as my wife says, either you're part of the solution or part of the problem. Don't be part of the problem. On the phone, I have Robin Taylor, who is part of the Green Whales organization out in Brigantine. And they do a lot of different good things. I had a chance to row with them 2 years ago because they couldn't have it last year with the Jim Whalen Around the Island Swim. She's a phenomenal person. She's got the Green Whale Special Olympics team. She's got the Green Whales free swimming lessons and the Green Whale swim team itself. Robin, welcome to the program. And how are you doing today?
Oh, good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. So what's going on for the Jim Whalen Around the Island Swim?
Okay, the Jim Whalen Open Water Festival Around the Island Swim is an extremely iconic swim that started back in 1953 with a couple of lifeguards sitting at the Wonder Bar deciding whether they could do the Around the Island Swim. And, of course, they did it. And it's been a continuing swim through the 1960s, and then it had a hiatus for a while. And Jim Whalen actually was instrumental in bringing it back. And when, after his passing again, it was kind of swept under the table a little bit. So we decided that along the way we were doing some free swimming lessons, which Jim was really into over the years. And we said, gee, why don't we bring the Around the Island Swim back and try to use it as a fundraiser for Green Whales, Inc., which is what we founded and named the organization, which is a 501c3, and use the swim to help fund some of the programs that would have been close to Jim's heart and close to mine as well, which is our Greenhead Special Olympics team, our swimming lessons for the underserved, and Greenhead Swim Team.
Right, and how many kids have you taught to swim so far through the free swimming lessons?
Well, the first 18 months of the program, we taught water safety and swimming lessons to a little over 600 children.
Wow, that's a lot of lives that you've potentially saved. I think it's a wonderful program. And how's the swim team doing?
The swim team does great. I mean, right now we have swimmers on just about every high school team. Well, five high school teams we have swimmers on that started with us that go and swim in their high school. When high school's over, come back to us.
Now, at one of your events, I actually met a couple of your athletes from the Special Olympics team. And these kids, I'll tell you what, they lit right up. They were the life of the party. Tell us a little bit about the Special Olympics team.
Well, our Special Olympics team made up mainly children on the spectrum, various degrees on the spectrum. And it is so important for teaching them water safety. A lot of children with autism find being under the water calming because there's no sound. And with them being under the water and not being able to swim, it's not a good thing. So we bring them in and we teach swimming and water safety, and eventually they wind up competing. We competed at the state games, Special Olympic state games, year before last. It was last year they did not have them, So we were there 2 years in a row so far with our Special Olympics kids.
Wow. And all of this comes from donations and the Around the Island Swim Festival. And I had a chance to row in that. And that was, it's what, 22 miles around Epsecon Island?
22.7. Don't cut yourself short.
It was one heck of an adventure there, rowing a lifeguard boat around the island, considering that the two of the lifeguards I had in there in the boat with me, I am not a lifeguard, and the lifeguards couldn't row either. So it was an interesting time going around the island, but it was a wonderful event. And I learned a lot that day about your program and all the people that you help that are out there. So how do people get in touch with you to either donate to you or to volunteer?
Greenwells has their own website, Greenwells Inc., GWI, or under Greenhead Swimming, greenheadswimteam.net or .org, GWI.org. And you'll come across us and you'll see the articles on the site explaining how the swim got started. And there's also interviews with the participants from last year. There's bios for the participants for this year. We have 5 relay teams in this year and 12 individuals that have already signed up and have been vetted. They have to go through a vetting process to make sure that they're capable of doing a swim of that caliber.
And it is a world-class event. For those of you who don't know or haven't seen or heard of it, I'll tell you what, it is a world-class event. And the folks from Greenwells that put this on, they really, safety is paramount. They really do an outstanding job with everything from the boats that have motors to those of us that are rowing. Each swimmer has their own lifeguard team that's there with them that row as they're swimming around the island. The lifeguard boats are out there with them. You got to keep track of your swimmers and the boats that are there in support that have the motors on them. They keep a safe distance. Everything is really, it's on the up and up, and it's a really good thing. So if someone's interested in becoming a sponsor for that event, how do they go about doing that?
Again, contact us at Green Whales Inc. Call me at 609-266-SWIM. That's 609-266-7946. Sponsorships right now, they get to go on the commemorative program book that gets handed out to about 500 people. They're on the back of our T-shirts that actually go literally all over the world. We have swimmers right now from Canada, Brazil, Ireland, and England coming over for the swim. People like it. Marathon swimmers like our swim because it's so different. You know, when a lot of our swimmers have swam the English Channel before, the bridges, the 7 bridges swim in New York. But ours is unique because you go from the warm water in the bay through the inlet to the cold water in the ocean and then back to the inlet to the warm water. And the inlets themselves are challenging, as well as going from the warmer water to the colder water. So it's a little bit more challenging for a marathon swimmer than just swimming the straight channel or right down the Hudson.
Well, so I know you've got
people love ours.
Oh yeah. I know all the swimmers that participate in that, they love the event. And I know you've got 2 volunteers already. You've got me, myself, and Tommy Forkin. He's an Atlantic City lifeguard, and he has already said he would row in a boat with me or in another boat with another team of racers. So you've got 2 volunteers already that are willing to row the boat that have experience doing this already.
That's a beautiful thing. Also, there's a purse in this event as well. It's a $10,500 purse. So that attracted some higher caliber swimmers this year. Which is nice. And hopefully this will be able to run it here on out. Last year, of course, we had to postpone it to this year because of COVID. And hopefully that won't happen in years to come. Just God knows I'm over it.
Yeah, I think we all are. And it's one of those events that it's an interesting event to watch. It's an interesting event to be a part of, and it's really the folks that you help out, if you're a sponsor or if you're a racer, the folks that you help out with this, Robin, you and your team over there at Green Wheels, you just do a phenomenal job. And thank you so much for everything that you do for the community. And again, the website is GWI.com
or Green Wheels Inc.
GreenWheelsInc.org.
Uh huh.
Perfect. And the phone number to get a hold of you at again is
609-266-SWIM or 609-266-7946.
Robin, thank you so much for being here this morning, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you for your support, and also lots of luck with your new show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Welcome to Time with Toto. I'm James Toto. You know, during the show, we cover several different veterans issues that are out there. And right now, one of the articles I came across in the American Legion magazine is an article by Ken Olson. And it goes along the lines of the casualties of K2, veterans suffering from toxic exposure at a secret base in Uzbekistan fight for VA recognition they were denied. The article goes on to describe approximately 15,000 U.S. service members were deployed to Khorshid-Khanabad, or otherwise known as K2, a former Soviet military base about 100 miles from the Afghan border, between 2001 and 2005. They were exposed to nearly 400 chemical compounds and radiation from yellow cake uranium and depleted uranium, as well as other toxicants that saturated K2 during decades of Soviet mismanagement, which were followed by a catastrophic explosion that demolished an air-to-surface missile bunker and an ammunition depot after the Uzbeks took over the base, according to K2 veterans and declassified government documents. Nearly half of the approximately 5,000 members of the Stronghold Freedom Foundation have rare cancers and other illnesses, says Mark Jackson, legislative director for K2 Veterans Group. They didn't qualify for VA service connection for K2-related health issues because until late December, military service in Uzbekistan wasn't recognized in federal law or regulation. The United States leased part of K2 soon after 9/11 and established Camp Stronghold Freedom on part of what by then was an Uzbek Air Force base. We needed to find a way to get into Afghanistan to take down the Taliban, says Widener, one of the lead special operations mission planners for Operation Enduring Freedom. K2 had been the main support base for the Soviet war in Afghanistan and seemed ideal. Problems emerged as soon as U.S. troops arrived in October 2001. Uzbek construction workers became ill while building an earthen berm around the American enclave, and a team from the Army Center for Health Promotion and Preventative Maintenance was dispatched to investigate. The results showed K2 was dirty, polluted, and radioactive, says Mike Lechlitner, a DOD employee who helped with the initial environmental survey when not engaged in his primary job of supporting special operation forces making forays into Afghanistan. Many of the soldiers that were dispatched to the area are now calling it their generation's Agent Orange. And like the Agent Orange problem during Vietnam, many of the K2 veterans don't receive any help from DOD or VA, either because the base was off the books or because they're no longer on active duty when they develop cancers, autoimmune diseases, and other illnesses. The American Legion, long a leading advocate for veterans exposed to Agent Orange, radiation, chemicals, Gulf War-related hazards, burn pits, and other environmental hazards, says K2 veterans should get immediate help. This includes VA providing medical exams and treatment for veterans dealing with illnesses tied to toxic exposures at the former Soviet base, as well as assessing the risk for exposure posed for their children, stated Ralph Pizzella, chairman of the Legion's National Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation Commission. In the meantime, we need to go to Congress and fight for service-connected disabilities related to their service at K2 and the resulting diseases, and for fully funding research and new treatments for these diseases, he says. Since 2016, the American Legion has also called for DOT to disclose all hazardous environmental exposures at any facility used by troops so they can seek appropriate medical treatment. Bozella adds, and the organization is advocating for VA to establish a national center for research on the diagnosis and treatment of health conditions of the descendants of service members exposed to toxic substances. The government has to be cognizant of any environmental hazards and needs to protect these veterans and their offspring, Bozella says. Stronghold representatives have contacted every member of Congress in an effort to secure federal legislation making K-2 veterans eligible for presumptive VA service connection for their complex health problems. The first thing they say is, how much is it going to cost? And that's bipartisanship, Jackson says. There's a sliver of hope. On January 19th, President Donald Trump signed an executive order directing DOD and VA to conduct a one-year study of toxic exposure among K-2 veterans, similar to the study authorized in the latest National Defense Authorization Act. In addition, legislation signed in early January requires VA and the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry to conduct a 10-year study of cancers and other diseases of K-2 veterans. The Veterans Health Care and Benefits Improvement Act of 2020 also opens VA burn pit registry to U.S. service members who served in Uzbekistan. But more studies mean more delays for veterans who need immediate help, more families who are left with little more than debt and despair. I will definitely be keeping an eye on the casualties of K-2. And for veterans that are out there that do need assistance, two really, really good people in our area. One is Patrick Carney, and his phone number is 302-358-9736. Again, Patrick Carney's number is 302-358-9736. And the other person is Jackie Hinker, and her phone number is 302-304-5509. These two VA representatives are very aggressive in getting our veterans health care and the benefits that they need and that they're entitled to. If you are a veteran who is 65 and older and are eligible for the COVID vaccines under the parameters that are set out there, you can enroll at a local clinic or call Pat or Jackie. They will help get you set up at the Northfield, Rio Grande, or Vineland Clinic. Part of the requirements for the COVID vaccine is they have to be 65 or older. It's one of the requirements that are there. Again, Patrick Carney's phone number is 302-358-9736, and Jackie Hinker's phone number is 302-304-5509. Patrick and Jackie, they work extremely hard for our veterans that are out there. If you can't get through to them and you are a veteran who's in need of help, a number of different ways to get the help that you need is also going on the veteranscrisisline.net, which is www.veteranscrisisline.net. You could also text 838-255. The Crisis Line phone number is 1-800-273-8255. Again, that Crisis Line phone number is 1-800-273-8255. Press 1 for veterans. Our veterans serve this country proudly, and for the government and for people to just abandon them, it's definitely a sign of what society has become. So if you know a veteran, get them that number, and if you know that they are in need, please reach out to them. Let them know. The Crisis Line number is 1-800-273-8255. Press 1 for vets, and the text number for the Crisis Line is 838-255. There was an interesting conversation on Hurley in the Morning when Harry spoke with John Zarek about the impacts of Title IX, especially here in the state of New Jersey, and how it's affecting local high schools. If you can, go back to Harry's podcast on the WPG app and go back in there and listen to it. It happened during the 8 o'clock hour, and it was really, really interesting about how they were talking about the impacts of some of the laws that are being passed here in New Jersey. Along with one of them that passed this week was also marijuana and alcohol. And if you do have a minor child, police can no longer question them if they're pulled over or if they're stopped on the street, if they're smoking a joint or if they're drinking a beer. They're not required to let you know about that on the first warning. I think it's the second warning now that they are going to notify the parents. So this is the state stepping in and basically saying how they're going to raise your child.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
And welcome back. Good Saturday morning. I'm James Toto. In other news in and around the state of New Jersey, Bruce Springsteen was basically cleared of charges, or charges were dropped for a DUI, but he did plead guilty to drinking in a public park. From there, Jeep will continue the commercials that he filmed for the Super Bowl. and other things going on around between New York and New Jersey, Governor Cuomo, there have been accusations and allegations made against Governor Cuomo for sexual assault. Please remember that a top official in Governor Murphy's administration claimed that another official had sexually assaulted her during Mr. Murphy's campaign in 2017. Yet despite the woman's repeated pleas to Mr. Murphy's senior aides, her colleague remained in his $170,000 a year state job for months before resigning. Lindsay Boylan has made several accusations against Governor Cuomo that Governor Cuomo himself has made unwanted sexual advances toward her. Just kind of wondering where the women's groups are on these questions for both Mr. Murphy and Governor Cuomo. One of the hot topics that's in the news these days is systemic racism in America. Now, the Coca-Cola company has held classes on people that are Caucasian to make sure that they basically refrain from their whiteness. And they have given them different things, different guidelines to follow, such as don't be so arrogant and other things of those natures. Meanwhile, in the schools up in Buffalo, they are basically showing videos of children, unfortunately, that have been killed. And they're showing videos of these children and how it all boils down to systemic racism. This narrative that keeps getting pushed out there, all it's doing is just creating more and more division. Now, I'm a 51-year-old white male, which means that I am supposed to be the most racist person out there because of my age, my gender, and the color of my skin. Meanwhile, I'm one of the people that's out there that doesn't judge a person by the color of their skin. It has to do with, you know, how does a person conduct themselves? Are they contributing to society? And, you know, what qualifications do you have to do your job? And it's the content of their character. You know, Martin Luther King said it best. You know, he dreams of a day where a person will be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. I have neighbors that live on either side of me. One couple happens to be black, one person happens to be white, and I love them both equally. I don't think that America is in as bad a shape as the press and the media would like us to believe.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
In international news, several cruise lines are still on hold out there. They are not sending their cruise ships out. We know that Carnival and Norwegian Cruise Lines and several other cruise lines are not yet booking cruises yet for their 2021 season yet, and they're going to put it more on hold. In other international news, at the G. Biden, basically Joe Biden has said that America is not first. And as a funny side note, the Dems basically want to take away the nuclear codes from President Biden. I find that kind of ironic. Another thing that's kicking around in the news is the open borders. It's kind of funny that White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said last week President Joe Biden is committed to reopening schools 5 days a week as quickly as possible, but yet he wants the borders open now, which I find kind of ironic. And they're using the excuse of political asylum, meanwhile 85% of the cases are rejected. Now, the people that are coming across these borders also are not subject to a COVID test, and we don't know what kind of vaccinations they do have coming across that border. They're allowed to be here for 5 years, which is the normal working time for political asylum investigation. And this is just something that's going to hurt those that have come here legally. And a quote by Senator Rick Scott from Florida, he basically slammed the Biden administration. And this is the quote he had: in 4 weeks, the Biden administration has been known for two things, open borders and closed schools. Meanwhile, the White House has faced severe criticism in the past few weeks, accused of not having a direct answer to the question. I guess Jen Psaki will circle back to it. Thank you again for spending your Saturday morning time with Toto. I do appreciate it. My name is James Toto. If you have any kind of comments, please go on my Facebook page and leave a comment. Whether it's positive or negative, I want to hear what you have to say. Thank you very much. I hope you have a good week. God bless.